Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
I am by JJ, JD Crossan and Sibam Khwebi bring us to 10 minutes after 1. Very good afternoon to you if you have just joined us. It is still Heart to Heart with myself, Lukho Mgwedi, and so an official welcome to the second hour of the show. It's Wednesday and it's that time of the day where we talk all matters health. And today we're talking about mental health and toxic positivity. Imagine somebody putting toxic and positive in the same sentence. It's weird, right? I know. But don't worry about that, because Charlene is here from Wellbeings Africa, and she is going to tell us what that is actually. Like I said, we're focusing on toxic positivity and mental health, which is being overly optimistic in all situations. And, you know, toxic positivity is a real psychological problem commonly driven by emotional avoidance and the tendency to push away or minimize all internal stress. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back.
Good afternoon, Lukho. Thank you for having me. I was just having a little laugh when you said, who would put toxic and positivity
exactly
together?
Exactly.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It shouldn't make sense. And ironically, I was just on LinkedIn about 10 minutes ago, and we'll talk about that. I've seen so many examples just in the last 10 minutes.
That's the thing with you. That's the thing with you. Sharing a space with you, you're studying us. You're always studying what you can get out of us.
No, I mean, I think it's such an important topic, right? Because, you know, everyone, mental health is such a big thing. We can't get away from it. And I think the more we talk about mental health, we start learning more about these types of things. We've spoken about toxic workplaces. So today, I think it's time to look at kind of the darker side of positivity and just unpack it.
It's funny you should talk about toxic workplaces and whatnot. My sister was talking about something over the weekend, and she said to me, you know, we don't really have much lunch. We eat from our desks. And I laughed. I said, you know, Charlene told me how that's a pet peeve of hers. She's like, hey, take a break and eat. You're not always going to win, you know, the star of the month. Like, just step away from your desk. You don't have to do it. So we were laughing about that over the weekend. But I think to start off our afternoon, Charlene, maybe in your words and, you know, even more extensively, if you could just tell us, what exactly is toxic positivity?
So clearly, to your point, you wouldn't think that toxic and positivity would go together. So we've all heard that sentiment of good vibes only, right? Mm-hmm. Or just think positive. I think it's so prevalent. It's everywhere we turn. So toxic positivity is kind of the extreme version of this idea. So as we learn more about mental health, we learn more theories and solutions and treatments. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, this forced positivity is almost an overcorrection to dealing with depression or stress or anxiety. So we need to think of it, it's like it's this pressure to stay positive and happy no matter how challenging your situation is.
Sure.
And I mean, that's often just impossible because we live in the real world with very real challenges and difficulties. And the more you force yourself to be in the state where you're constantly thinking, just look on the brighter side of things, you actually start doing more harm to your well-being, to your mindset. So I think just in a nutshell, if we can understand it that way, that there's nothing wrong with being positive. There is something wrong when it becomes an issue where you're kind of denying reality and you're just going off this good vibes only and just think positive all the time, because that's not realistic.
Sure. And yeah, I'm thinking, isn't staying positive, you know, good for our mental health? Right. You know, so how can it then become harmful as well?
So there was a really, we'll go back to this whole thing about we're always learning. So there was this really interesting study that, you know, I was researching for this topic. So researchers have found that the normal human experiences at least 27 different emotions at any given day, to put it that way.
Oh.
So you may experience anger, then sadness, then confusion, then boredom, then calmness. There's 27 of these possible emotions that's just going through your mindset constantly. So in measured ways, it's great to be positive and remain optimistic, even if you're in the midst of a very difficult season or situation, right? We can all benefit from just keeping things in perspective. But where it starts to become harmful is when, ironically, the more you force yourself to be positive, the more stressed out you become.
Yeah.
Because you're telling yourself, just be positive, just be upbeat, don't sweat the small stuff. The problem is that sometimes you have to sweat the small stuff and the big stuff. You know, so when we tell ourselves or other people, just stay positive all the time, we're ignoring all those very natural emotions that are part of being human. And that's the harm of something like this. It pushes this idea of fake happiness when what you really need to do is you need to you need that space to feel things, to process things, and to deal with your problems.
Sure. I've heard somebody say, allow yourself to feel. It's not the fact that it's a feeling that exists means you will fall into it at some point in time. Don't try and force yourself out of it. Deal through it.
Right, exactly. Because, look, there's no glory in pushing things and pushing things away, putting things in a box, suppressing it. And then later down the line, you might find that it comes back in a very big and even more harmful way and can really set back your long-term mental health. So it might feel normal in the moment to say, well, I'm not dealing with this, or I'm just, you know, good vibes only, you know, I don't want to hear anything bad. But what you're doing is you're just denying the reality of the situation and you're not actually processing anything.
Yeah.
And chances are it is going to come back and hurt you in the long run.
Sure. I was actually, you know, just going through some of your notes and I saw that, you know, that common phrase, everything happens for a reason. Instead of us just taking accountability sometimes, you're like, Kaibo.
Yes. Yeah, that's I think also an important part of this. And I think it comes from a good place when we tell someone that, or when we tell ourselves that, because we're trying to soothe the other person. We try to just give them some comfort.
Yes.
So it comes from a good place. It has good intentions.
True. But you know, I think we need to be more careful as well sometimes, because in the process of comforting other people, I don't know if I was having this chat with you the other time, you know, sometimes we try to use our own experiences. Some people receive it positively, but some people don't want to hear what you think, because in that moment it's about them actually and they're hurting, and when you begin to share your experiences as well, or when you say things such as, no, don't worry, Charlene, everything happens for a reason, to them it's almost as if you're belittling their current experience.
That's actually super, super true, because you're minimizing what they are going through in that immediate moment. If you're going through something really challenging, you're not looking for a solution right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, you just wanna vent, you just wanna cry, you just want to go through whatever you're feeling. The solution comes later. And then I think we have, as humans, you know, we are trying to comfort the other person, but we're also trying to project a little of our own experiences onto them to say, it happened to me, but don't worry, you'll come out of it, which again, it's the good intention, but that person's experience is so singular. It's so unique to them.
I'm going to say this though, Charlene. We're such a complicated generation. Because I think a lot of these responses we have, we probably adopted from, you know, those before us. It made sense then. Yeah. But we are totally different in our time and how we want to be dealt with also. And I think it's not a bad thing, actually, because if you think about it, we always ask this question, what did our moms, our dads, our grannies do in their time? How did they deal with mental health? I get that question, but we're here now. We're dealing with our immediate emotions and we need to be more careful how we actually do it.
But going back to that point, that's true. When you look at a generational way previous generations have dealt with certain things versus how, you know, we might deal with certain things. If you're talking about your parents, for instance, something that relates to toxic positivity is you may have heard in your family that you know, you've got to be strong all the time. And being strong means you don't talk about your problems and you just look on the brighter side of things, keep things in perspective. So that has a lot to do with, I think, you know, now coming back to this point of the overcorrection, where we do too much with it. You know, we're not finding that balance and we are taking some of those historical elements, we're applying it to where we are today. And all the access to information and solutions that we have now. So it becomes quite a lot to deal with. And I think that's why something like this forced optimism and toxic positivity is so common right now is we almost have too many solutions at hand.
Yeah, that is so true, actually. Now tell me, how common is this toxic positivity in today's world?
I think it's honestly really hard to get away from. I think social media has so much to answer for. Just as a quick overview research, I did an Instagram hashtag search this morning. Mm-hmm. And the hashtag good vibes only, there are over 20 million of those tags associated with posts.
Sure.
Which just goes to show you it's so, so ingrained in our mentality, in how we present ourselves to the world. There's this pressure that you have to appear a certain way online. That's just leaving aside, you know, in real life.
Mm.
Just that online pressure, you know, you have to look a certain way. You have to show your amazing life where you're going to the best restaurants, you're traveling, you're attending all these awesome events, you're wearing the best clothes. And it's so much to keep up with because it's not a realistic portrayal of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only showing the positive parts, the good parts, and it's because you're trying to live up to that hashtag of good vibes only.
Yes.
So it's something, you know, going back to our first discussion, we spoke about the toxic workplace. Even there, you can be under so much pressure at work. You can be completely exhausted, mentally drained. But what is that workplace culture saying? It's saying, keep pushing, no complaining, just power through. And that's what leads to that burnout, the stress, the anxiety, feeling physically sick. You know, you can like all of this and the effects that it has on your health.
Sure. That's interesting, I must say. So what are some of everyday examples of toxic positivity that you can give to me?
So I think we've spoken a little bit about it and coming back to the point of a lot of it is said and done with good intentions because people want to help. They want to lift someone's mood, but, you know, sometimes it just backfires and it shuts down those real feelings. And when you're saying just stay positive or don't think about it to someone who's just lost their job, as an example, you know, it sounds supportive, but it glosses over that person's immediate worry and pain and hurt. Saying something like other people have it worse. I mean, we get it.
It's imagine.
I mean, I understand that it's meant to be like a reality check, which is true. But then it makes that person feel guilty for their own valid emotions. I mean, that's not fair for their experience. What they're going through is individual to them. I mean, just even bringing it to a health perspective, you know, the worrying thing is that this type of optimism, it can really blind you to real health issues because you start to ignore symptoms because you believe that you can just power your way to better health with positive thinking. And very often, Luko, that's just not possible because you're actively denying reality. You're not being practical and resourceful with what you have. You know, that faith and optimism needs to work hand in hand with being realistic.
Yeah, that's so true. Are you there, Charlene?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think you actually cut there, but I got you. Okay. Is there a difference between genuine positivity and toxic positivity?
Yeah, I think the important thing is to be grounded. You know, genuine positivity, it acknowledges reality. So it sounds like the situation is difficult, but I believe you'll get through it. What can I do to help? You're acknowledging the good emotion, the bad emotion. You're focusing on support and understanding. Whereas that forced positivity, it skips right over the sympathy part and immediately goes to the solutions. So one is about emotional growth, and the other one can make people feel misunderstood. It can make you feel alone. And I think it's really important that, we talk a lot about resilience. Resilience comes from dealing with the challenges. That's the tough part that we've got to get through, Whereas if you're constantly trying to gloss over your problems, you're just ignoring
Yeah,
what's happening. And
exactly.
that's not the healthiest mindset for life. Maybe it's good for the moment because, you can just switch it off and think of something else, but you've always got to deal with yourself at the end of the day.
Listen, when you say that, I'm thinking to myself, just glossing things and putting them on the side. I always tell people, look at it as if you are placing bread or whatever on the side. It's not going to disappear. It's going to gain mold. It's going to be there. It's going to stink. It's going to become a bigger problem than it actually is. So deal with it, get it out of the way, and then listen, this one, I'm past it.
I think that's an amazing way of looking at it. It's absolutely true. There's this saying that I love, which is, feelings are just visitors. Let them come and let them go. And I think the whole bread metaphor also falls perfectly into that because, yeah, it's tough feelings. It's depression or sadness or panic or worry, but it's for that moment,
Exactly,
Or maybe
exactly.
a couple of moments, okay? Realistically, maybe it's a couple of moments, but you're dealing with it, you're not ignoring it. And you're building up that resilience so the next time something like that happens, you have a foundation to fall back on. You've learned something and you can now apply it to that situation.
I love to hear it, I must say. Are there any long-term effects of living in a positive early environment?
So not to keep going back to all the studies and research, but another study that I really want to talk about, which was really enlightening, it was a study done over a 6-month period. And they found that acceptance leads to better mental health. So people who, on a consistent basis, if people accept their negative emotions and their thoughts and their feelings in the long run, over that period that this was studied, they showed a higher psychological well-being. They had a greater satisfaction for life. They had fewer symptoms of depression and anxiety. But it all came down to accepting those very negative spaces they were in and saying, okay, this is what it is. I'm acknowledging it. I'm accepting it. I'm going to try and work through it. And part of that working through, Luca, is also about sometimes there are no immediate solutions. Sometimes you're just going to have to go through your bad day. A friend and I, we always talk about this. We call them struggle days, where everything that is going to go wrong just goes wrong. It's from the time you wake up in the morning, you stub your toe, you drop your coffee, you're having technical difficulties. Everything's just going wrong. And the more you try to force yourself out of that challenging space, the worse things seem to get. So we always joke about this and we always say, you know what? The key is just accepting and saying, okay, today is a struggle day. I'm just going to let it be what it is. Okay? And tomorrow will be better. Maybe
It
never
does become a better
tomorrow.
day, actually.
It does. And as soon as you accept that, okay, today is that struggle day, I'm not going to avoid it. I'm just going to carry on. Fine. I'm going to slam my hand in the door, whatever. It's going to be even worse, but it's okay. I know. I accept it for what it is. So when we're talking mental health, we have to look at those long-term effects of something like living in that state of forced optimism. It's not sustainable. It's a temporary fix.
Sure. Why do people fall into the trap of toxic positivity, even with good intentions, as you said earlier on?
I think just culturally also, going back to what we were saying about families and how you were raised, so many of us, we've been taught that there's a discomfort with negative emotions. We've been taught strong means always happy, you're never complaining. So when someone is sad or struggling, we rush to cover it up. When we're sad or struggling, we rush to cover it up because that's not being strong.
Yeah.
This is something I think, you know, you would also relate to as women. You know, there's so much of a cachet that's associated with being a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking of pet peeves, that is a pet peeve, because we don't say that men are strong men. We don't call a man a strong man.
True. You know, I've never thought of that.
Why are we so conditioned to see so much value in a woman being strong, you know? And why does that strong mean that we can never acknowledge a bad day, or we must always be happy, we must never complain?
Yeah, so, we must always have our ducks in a row somehow.
Exactly. And I think so many workplaces, so many families, like, they discourage those kind of open conversations about stress and grief and anxiety. You know, I think we can see, like, a couple generations ago, things like anxiety and depression, people wouldn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
In certain, you know, families, maybe it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of emotional avoidance, it, you know, comes back to the thing. It feels helpful in that moment, but it prevents that human connection. It actually harms your health in the long term.
Eish.
We just have to see the difference between harmful positivity and what's realistic.
Hey, tough one, I must say. So what do we do ultimately, Charlene? What's a healthier way to actually support someone who's struggling?
Before supporting someone, I think we really have to start with ourselves. It's really for yourself also. You need to be genuinely empathetic with your own emotions and not force that toxic positivity on your situations.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, true.
You know, supporting yourself without falling into that trap is just about giving yourself permission to feel whatever shows up, the good, the bad, the confusing. You don't have to, you know, put a fake smile on your face and pretend everything is fine. You can just give yourself that time.
And it doesn't mean you're not dealing with it, because I think that's the misconception, to think, you know, when you go through these feelings, you're just, you know, letting everything loose and you're not going through it or dealing with it.
Yes, yes. And mental health professionals tell us that, you know, like, all emotions are valid. So whatever you're feeling, even the tough ones, that's all part of the dealing and healing. And it's the same thing when you are trying to be there for someone who's struggling, you know. You're just needing to first acknowledge what they're going through, you know. Don't rush to find a quick fix solution. Give that person permission to feel whatever they're feeling. No judgment.
Yeah.
You know, don't be like, oh, put on a brave face. You just need to listen. It's okay to feel upset. I'm here for you. People just want that validation. And I think when it comes to mental health issues as well, you know, you may have had the same experience with people just want to be heard. And they're not really looking for, okay, tell me what to do in that immediate moment. Maybe they just want to vent their thoughts. They just want to cry on a sympathetic shoulder. So I think it's really just about being grounded in that moment and making sure that you're practicing self-compassion, you're practicing compassion for other people, and just thinking, okay, I'm going to build resilience through this situation. I'm not going to force a fix out of this, but it's going to be a process.
Yeah. As long as we know it's not going to happen overnight. I love what you just said. It's going to be a process. Definitely.
And I think, yeah, I think that's so important with mental health, is that if we look at something like depression, for instance, you know, some people struggle with it for a very long time. Some people have it for life, you know, and maybe it's something that we will never understand that person's experience. Some people go through situational depression, where something for a temporary season in their life has contributed to this condition. So it really does come back down to, it's such an individual health journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And only you know your comfort levels, only you know what you need in that moment. And I really think it comes down to so much of compassion for yourself and balance,
yeah,
and
yeah.
focusing on, you know, focusing on the process, not the end.
I love to hear it. I believe you guys have more of these tips, you know, and things we can look out for. Mm-hmm. Please fill us in where we can get more of this info, Charlene.
Yes, thank you, Luko. So I hope, yeah, today we understand a little bit more about, you know, that true well-being. It's not about pretending to be happy all the time. I think it's about understanding and accepting every part of your mental and emotional health, even the messy parts. So, yeah, come on to wellbeingsafrica.com, our health platform. We're really trying to focus on practical everyday health and wellness tips. So you can read the articles, watch the videos, and just make that investment in your health journey, because there's so much value in it. Mm. And everyone deserves to be well.
Wow. Everyone deserves to be well. Thank you for reminding us that, Charlene. And thanks for coming through this afternoon.
It's always interesting to talk to you. And I'm going to remember your moldy bread analogy today. That's my takeaway.
I'm glad I could also teach you something today, because I'm always learning from you. Thank you so much, Charlene. Let's do this again next week, Wednesday, then.
Thank you, Luka. Take care. I'll chat soon.
Receive your dose of inspiration on Thursday Live from 6 to 7 p.m. on Radio Pulpit, 657 a.m.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.